Senator Whitehouse is one of 16 Democratic senators who signed on to a bill introduced by Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders to create a single-payer health care system. The bill, also known as Medicare for All, is aimed at reducing costs and increasing access to care basically by cutting out the middlemen in the system, meaning private insurers. Instead, government pays for health care directly. Realistically, what are the chances of a single-payer bill getting passed this session, Senator Whitehouse?
Zero.
So then why are you pressing so hard for this?
Because I wanted to kind of put a mark on the horizon of the direction I think we need to steer in. For a while, the direction under the Republican Congress has been to take benefits away from people and to limit coverage. And I think that that's a mistake. We have the ability to make sure that every American gets coverage, and we can also deliver health care much more effectively and much less expensively than we do.
Senator, shouldn't we be fixing Obamacare before we start a conversation on the larger issue of single payer?
I think we can do both at the same time, and I'm reassured that we're already on that path in the HELP Committee. I sit on the Health, Education, Labor, Pensions Committee. There are some real disputes, but I do think that we are still going forward in a very bipartisan basis. The bad news is that there is talk that they may be able to get the votes and use it as the vehicle to repeal Obamacare. The good news is that that seems a little bit unlikely because there are a huge number of Republican states who take a massive beating on their Medicaid programs if they vote for this.
So when you see news websites like Politico today, which said Obamacare repeal is on the brink of coming back from the dead, how should we interpret that?
I think they've got a shot, and I think they're going to give it a try. They have told their base that they were going to repeal Obamacare, and there are a lot of people who are insisting on it. The people who fund the party, the Koch brothers, the Mercers, the big creepy billionaire contingent. And so there's a lot of pressure to continue to try to get something done. But by taking the Medicaid in the states that opted for the Medicaid expansion and taking it away from those states and redistributing it among the states that didn't. And so there's going to be a huge fiscal punch to a lot of states that have Republican senators that, as they used to say on the Ricky Ricardo, you got some splaining to do when they get home about having wrecked Medicaid in your home state.
One of the things about single payer, kind of an existential question, is you're going to take 1/6 or so of our economy and you're going to have it run by the government. A lot of people just don't trust the government.
Everybody loves Medicare. People are very keen on Medicaid. Nobody's complaining about TRICARE. So over and over again, you see government-run systems that not only do people not hate, they love them and they count on them and they rely on them.
You know, you've talked about the issue of expanding Medicare short of single payer. You've talked about maybe reducing the age for Medicare eligibility to 55 and over.
Yep, or even 50.
Correct. And that might reduce costs for private insurers as well as expanding the pool of people who can access Medicare. Has that proposal gone anywhere?
I don't think there's a lot of Republican appetite for lowering the entry point age to Medicare or creating a new Medicare program for people from 50 to 65. But what there has been a big Republican appetite for is either a risk pool or a reinsurance program for people who get really horrible diagnoses. You know, you get Lou Gehrig's disease, you get some really awful cancer, you've got something that you know is going to be very expensive and really tough. Many states have taken those people and moved them into either a risk pool or into a reinsurance program, which takes their cost out of the regular market, and that makes the regular market price go down. And that means more people can afford it, so more people come in, so it improves the risk pool, and you get a virtuous cycle going.
Can you envision a two-tier system? Perhaps Canada has a piece of this, where people who get their insurance from their employers get to keep that, and that market stays the same, and then we move to a single payer for most other folks.
I think what would be a very, very welcome and logical step would be to add a Medicare program, a government-backed program that picked up people when they got one of these terrible diagnoses. And, you know, along with the horrible news that you just got this horrible disease, you also know that you now have the backing of a government program behind you. It's not going to run out of money. You'll get the best possible care. You don't have to worry about being thrown off.
So Medicare becomes the insurer of last resort?
Well, it becomes kind of a catastrophic insurer. And what that does is, for everybody else, it lowers the cost of health insurance a lot.
And how do you get past the idea where some people will say, well, I don't understand. Having the government take on these people in the high-risk pools, is that going to be less expensive ultimately?
It usually is. I mean, Medicare is a lot less expensive than most of the private health insurance. There are a lot of cost advantages to the government running these programs, which is why so many of the other countries that compete with us have healthcare systems that cost half of what ours costs per person, or two-thirds of what ours costs per person, while delivering better results.
So you started out by saying that the proposal for single payer is really to get this conversation out there, and that you have no expectation this will pass the session. So what is next for single payer? What would be the move to the next level?
I think as the move to the next level is probably going to be something related to people who have these particular expensive and bad diagnoses. In the HELP committee, I have detected very strong bipartisan support for such programs. The governors who came in from Republican states, the insurance commissioners who came in from Republican states, my Republicans on the committee, they're all talking about this. I hope that the death of Graham Cassidy is the last gasp of political quarreling and we can get on to actually trying to do the improvements that we need.
Senator Whitehouse, thanks so much for talking with us.
Glad to be with you, Lynn, and welcome to radio.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Scott.